What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I hope that you've grappled with that verse a little bit in your own heart and life. And I hope that that gives you great confidence as you go through the circumstances of life, painful though some be. Verse 32, it says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" One of the beautiful demonstrations of our Father's love for us is sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. There is no greater demonstration, and only because a couple of you have commented on the analogy. If you come up with a better one, let me know. But you know, I gave the analogy of I only have one son, my boy Eric. He's 23. He's teaching in a Christian school in the island of Guam, for a little reference point for the visitors. But he's a good boy, and I do love him. Well, a young man now, I guess. But in any event, when we bought our house way back many, many years ago, we had the inspection like many of you did, and we had a little document saying that there were no termites in the house. Well, there was a bunch of money exchanged that I was not aware of, because the house was just about crawling away. And we built several exterior walls and built a whole lot of interior walls. And termites are not really very high on my list of fun, warm critters. Butterflies, maybe. Termites, no. But here's the analogy that I want to try to throw out to you. It would be like me sacrificing my own son for some ridiculous reason that I can't even conjure in my mind for the benefit or the purpose of those termites who are eating away my house and costing me all kinds of money and aggravation, etc. You know, so here I am. I'm going to give my son for a measly little white lava that's running around, termite, eating up all my wood. Why would I do that? They're destructive. They're really nothing. It's not like you communicate with them or anything like a dog. I mean, they're a termite. All they do is destroy things. But that isn't that a little bit of an analogy of us? Because there is none righteous, no, not one. We all sin against a holy God, and we're as destructive to the holiness of God as termites are to wood and to structures. And yet God sent His Son to die for me, the proverbial termite. I don't think I would be biblical enough to sacrifice my son for some termites. But God did that for us. And that's a tremendous blessing. And I hope it's all a part of your life as well. At some point in time in your life, you realize that you're a sinner. And that you absolutely need to be saved. Saved. And I alluded to some of that as we were thanking God for the salvation that hopefully most of us have received. Saved from the penalty of sin. Again, time does not forgive sin. You know, even relationships in our seminar this last weekend, you know, time does not heal all wounds. All it does is fester. They grow. They turn gangrenous. They don't. Time does not heal wounds, and time does not forgive sin. So every single sin, you sin when you're cognitively able to do that, is still there. And you're going to have to pay for them. And unfortunately, the Scripture says that the wages of those sins is death. And the Scripture speaks of two deaths. We have the physical death and then the second death in the end of Revelation. So you need a Savior. And the only one who can save you is Jesus Christ. And again, that's the beauty of it. He is the only one who can save you. Which is kind of nice, because His standard then for salvation hasn't changed with different councils or different men or different churches. It has been the same since Jesus Christ walked this face of the earth. It's a very simple thing. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would really encourage you, before you leave this building here in a little bit, that you would seek one who played the instruments, one who did the offering, or myself, and we'd be happy to get together, get our calendars out, and talk about when we could sit down and show you from the Bible that you don't have to fear death. None of us here should ever have to fear death. We should almost welcome and embrace it, because to be absent from the body for a believer is to be going home. I heard of a a second-hand account, there was a man who was dying of cancer this past, I guess it was fall, late a year ago or so, late summer. And someone went up to him and asked him how he was doing. He says, "I'm running home as fast as I can." And that's just the mindset that you and I should have, is we don't fear death. In fact, biblically, we almost welcome it in a way, as Paul said, "Who will deliver me from this bondage?" He's referring to his body. We all want to be running home as fast as we can. So if you're today here without Christ, I would really encourage you to be thinking through this few words I said, and hopefully we can get together before you leave. Today, we're going to be looking at some comments out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, we're going to talk about godliness through discipline. This is kind of an interesting topic that we're going to develop here in just a few minutes because my week got kind of busy with people, so I didn't have a lot of time for research and study, etc. And I'm sure there's some out there, but let me say it this way. There's not a plethora of sermons on disciplining one's thoughts. Now, as we get into 1 Corinthians, make some comments about bringing every thought into captivity. But the way I'm looking at this, there's not a lot of material written on it that I could find. So pray with me as we begin this, and then we'll see how we can address accurately and biblically this passage of Scripture. Again, Father, as we sang that song a couple weeks ago, but it is so true, speak, O Lord. Speak, O Lord, through your holy word. Speak, O Lord, and show us our inadequacies in light of your true and your holiness and your righteousness. Speak, O Lord, as we work through this material so that we can demonstrate our love for you in faith and in deeds of faith. We pray, Father, and we ask that you would speak through us, through, again, the Holy Spirit of God, through the Holy Word of God, as he ministers to us, hopefully, and helps us that we can be more like you. And especially for those of us that are fathers or grandfathers or stepfathers or working with other people, that we could leave such a legacy that it could be possible that as God blessed future generations because of his servant David, possibly it could be a similar scenario for us. We also pray, Father, that it would never be, as Exodus 25 and 6 says, that the sins of us would be passed down to previous generations. And the lack of control of our emotions, the lack of control of our body, the lack of control just in general, in our conflict resolutions, and just the way we process life. So again, Father, speak to us. Meet the various needs that are represented here. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many frustrations in life, are there not? I mean, you can just think through a myriad of just the various struggles and frustrations that you come up with every single day. One of the frustrations I want to address today is that of a lack of discipline. Paul, when writing to Timothy, he says that you are to reject the profane and old wives' tales. And again, there's a whole lot of stuff going on there, but there's certain things that we ought not to be involved in and engaged in, but rather we are to exercise ourselves toward godliness. Because bodily exercise profits a little. There is some value in it. I mean, if we don't take care of our body, there could be some serious consequences that could literally prevent us from moving around and doing various things. So it does profit a little, but in verse 8 it says, but godliness is completely profitable, both now for the life that is, and godliness is also profitable in the life to come. So if we had to, you know, if it was a give or take situation, forget the bodily exercise and stick with the godly exercise. But I think it can be a both and rather than an either or. There's lots of frustrations in life. And there are many times where, let me just get into this. One of the frustrations is just a lack of discipline. I think there's some reasons why there's a lack of discipline. And again, if you're thinking differently, that's okay. I think one of the reasons why there's a lack of discipline is there's just basically a lack of structure. And I think one of the reasons for a lack of structure is there's no purpose. Yesterday, I had the morning free. If I didn't have a purpose, well, I don't know if I really could have slept until noon, but let's just say hypothetically, I just would have slept until noon, you know, without a purpose. But man, there were things to do. We had various things, as many of you did. Yesterday was a very busy day. And to get it all done, we had to have a purpose. That purpose, then working it backwards, translated in structure. We're going to do this early in the morning. We're going to take care of this. And then the baby shower, and then the graduation, and then some other things we had to do, and the neighbor. There was a structure. So I think one of the reasons that you and I sometimes in various areas of our life are maybe not as disciplined as we should be is because we don't have purpose. According to verse 7, what is the purpose? What is the benefit of this exercise? It's towards what? Godliness. It is the purpose of godliness. In our Sunday school class, and I'm probably going to preach the same message a couple of weeks ago that we did in our Sunday school class, but what is the ultimate purpose of your life here today? To glorify God. Whether you eat, whether you drink, what do you do today for celebrating and giving honor to your Father? How you spend your afternoon, the television programs you watch tonight, the way you get up and go to work tomorrow, the way you drive to work tomorrow, the way you spend your money tomorrow should all be done to glorify God. Now, that means then our mornings, our evenings, our afternoons are all structured for then the purpose then of being godly. Everything you do and everything that happens to us, because there's many variables in life. And we should be processing all of those variables that come at us with the end result of being able to glorify God. Let me just very quickly, and I'll just reach a couple ways, because when we say that you are to bring glory to God, for some people, we get kind of a foggy, fuzzy question mark. I mean, Lord, I lift your name on high. Good. How do you do that? Well, sometimes there's that fogginess. Glorify God. You know, holy, 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 you know, we glorify you. Great is thy faithfulness. So how do we do that? Well, let me give you just a couple. First of all, in no particular order of importance, but when we worship God alone in our heart, you know, there's many messages and series that we've worked through that really impacted me. And I really enjoyed Jim Berg's series on quieting a noisy soul. And the whole premise of that is God himself enough? And that's really where we all want to be in every area of our life. God himself is enough in the financial areas. God alone is enough in my personal issues, my other issues, and every other area of my life. God is enough. I don't need to be satisfied or desires anything outside of God. And we all want to be there. And that would glorify God. We would glorify God by reaching out and receiving all that Jesus Christ offers to us. This book is just packed with great principles and precepts that if we would apply to our lives, we then could enjoy the abundant life that He came and lived and died for. And there's many more, but let me just go down to another point here. Lack of discipline. I think there's an area that sometimes in our lives, and that would be the lack of physical discipline. By not keeping our bodies under subjection. When he says to exercise yourself towards godliness, verse 8 says, but bodily exercise does profit a little. And you and I, we need to be, as Paul says, keeping our body under subjection. By keeping the physical desires under control, food, exercise, sex, sleep are all important. By not disciplining our bodies in this area of food, exercise, or sleep, it brings a sense of frustration, not only to us or others. Let me give you an example. Let's say that Robin and I have truly different sleeping habits, and it's learned habits. Because I come to work, I kick my feet up on the desk there, and I just sleep all day long. I sleep all day long, and then there's occasional phone call. There's an occasional buzz up from Bonnie that disturbs me. But for the most part, I sleep all day long. Well, Robin has been working all day long. So after dinner, and, you know, as we do our church things and we get home, 9:30, whatever, 10 o'clock at night, she's ready to go to bed. So she's ready to hop in bed, but man, I've just slept 8-9 hours. So I am not ready to go to bed. So she's laying in bed trying to go to sleep. Well, I'm not. So, you know, I turn on the radio, turn on my iPod, turn on the computer, turn on the television. So then, you know, she's got to find some earplugs or something because there's all this noise. Then I go into the kitchen, and of course the dog hears that. So then the dog jumps off the bed. But then when the dog doesn't get any food, now the dog is jumping back up on the bed. You kind of get in the picture? And just because of a lack of discipline in just one particular area is just not working. So then about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, when I'm finally getting tired, I'm about ready to go to bed. So again, I kind of wake her up as I cry crawling into bed, and then the alarm goes off at 5:45. And up she goes, and she's gone, and daily devotions in the morning is just, well, non-existent because I'm in bed sleeping. And there's not the kiss in the morning. There's not, I love you, boy, you look good. With the relationship seminar we had last week, remember, guys, every day you're supposed to be telling your wife what? I love you, and that she looks beautiful, and all that kind of stuff. But you see where this is going? And I think because of a lack of bodily discipline, there's a great deal of frustration in our lives. You and I need to structure our life for a purpose, and the purpose is to bring glory to God. There's also some collateral benefits that come as a result of it. There's another area, though, I think there's a lack of, and that is the lack of mental discipline. And this is where, again, in just my brief little research and jumping on the web and looking at the various commentaries and programs I have, I couldn't find a lot of stuff. But the Bible speaks a lot of mentally disciplining our thoughts. For example, Philippians 4:8, you know, whatsoever things are pure and honest and just and virtuous and praiseworthy, etc. You are to meditate or think on these things. So your thoughts must be controlled to think which is true and honest and just and pure, not to the contrary. Paul also then writes in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, in addition to what he says there, in the latter part of verse 5 says that we are to bring every thought into captivity. We're to capture those thoughts. They just can't, you know, sometimes we as children or even as parents, we get the kids who are wandering off in space, you know, and out in la-la land somewhere. Sometimes you and I do that when we're driving, don't we? And we get caught up in a cassette, or we get caught up in our iPod, or we get caught up in the thoughts of the day. And we get to our destination, but we really don't remember anything about how we got there or the drive. And you're thinking, boy, I sure hope there's no dents in my car or anything, because I was just out somewhere really not paying attention. But we can't do that. Every thought has to be brought under discipline. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, what happens? So is he. Jesus Christ, again, was very concerned that we were controlling our thoughts in the area of men with women. Christ said, you've heard of old, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? But you remember what Christ said in the New Testament? But I say unto you, whoever looks, whoever, and it's not just that gaze, but who is ever is focusing and pondering on that woman to lust after her, what? Has already committed adultery. So there's tremendous emphasis that we must be disciplining our thoughts and control. Let me give you a couple of ways in which maybe this isn't happening. First, thoughts not under control. This would be, in my mind, the manics. This would be the phobias. This would be the suspicions and the conspiracies. Let me give you a more practical illustration. My daughter last year took microbiology. And I'm beginning to be a firm believer in anyone who takes microbiology has ruined the rest of their lives. Did you know that there are germs and bacteria and all kinds of icky stuff everywhere? It's everywhere! And it's going to kill all of us. So what sometimes then, if you don't discipline your thoughts, is you go to Target and you buy those dollar size little hand sanitizers and you tape them to your wrist and you poke just a little hole on it so there's a continual drip. So you are constantly being sanitized from all the bacteria and yucky stuff out there that's everywhere. So just be careful with the hands you shake today. And don't touch the pews. And don't pick up the hymnal and your Bible because the germs are everywhere. Well, though it's kind of funny, though, there are some people who I believe who do not have their thoughts under control. Are there germs out there? Yes. Will I probably wash my hands before I eat? Yeah, I do that just about every day or every time we meet. Whenever I walk out of a nursing home, I wash my hands. And of course, I don't even leave a hospital washing my hands, but I control those thoughts. I think about it before I eat. I think about it when I leave a nursing home or a hospital. But I'm not consumed with bacteria and germs everywhere like some of the microbiology students who come out. And by the way, that's not any negativity on Stephanie either. She's got that under control. But let's go to another step. As you see on the bottom of that screen there, it's not disciplining one's thoughts. So I'm not talking necessarily about thoughts that are running wild, but just not disciplining and structuring your thoughts. These, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These are car keys, right? And what's one of the neat things about car keys apart from starting a car? Yeah, some of you are already saying it. Car keys have this unique ability to, like, never be in the same spot at one time or in the repeated spot, especially with us because of the clickers and everything and plus the church keys. Yeah, I got a lot of keys. So basically, you know, it's got the car key and a house key and that's it. So whenever we leave, it's like, Robin, you got her car or I got my car key because I don't even carry both keys. And it's one of these deals like, okay, who's got keys? Well, what do you do? Nah, let's see, where did we put those keys? And we chase all over everywhere looking for keys. And then when we get to the church, oh, do I have my church keys? Oh, yeah, I got my church keys. Oh, no, where are my church keys? And some of you are laughing, and we don't need to make that illustration, but it's the keys. Forgetting where you put the keys, forgetting where you put the book, forgetting where you left. I mean, we've even had children left here. And again, I understand that. You don't want them. Well, we don't want them either, I guess. Maybe I do. Yeah, we're still into the 6 months. I guess if you give them 6 months or more, you can claim them as a deduction, I guess. But apart from that, you know, mom's taking one car and dad's taking another car and dad leaves before mom and mom just assumes, but, you know, so we're forgetting things. We forget to run the errands. I like the milk analogy that Brother Mark Farman brought up. But, you know, some of it's not funny. You know, you're called at work and you're said, hey, when you come home, bring the milk. Or even if you're not called, just yourself. You're supposed to remember to get something. Well, when you show up, oh, man, we can't have mashed potatoes. We were hoping for mashed potatoes, but there's no milk. And besides what? We're drinking water at the meal because there's no milk. So sometimes the frustrations are more than just funny, like where are the keys, but sometimes they really impact others. We say we're going to do something. We're given a honey-do list. We're given a task. Yes, hon, I'll do that. Yes, pastor, I'll do that. Yes, who's ever doing the baby shower or the wedding shower or whatever? Yeah, I'll do that. Potluck meal? Yeah, oh, I'll do there and I'll bring this. And we make that commitment and then we forget. So let's take it down to just a little bit of a point here. If we say we're going to do something and we don't do it, is there more than just, oops, sorry, I forgot? And I would say that, no, you lied. You said you were going to do something, and there's all kinds of excuses, but you flat out lied. You said you were going to X, Y, Z, and you didn't. And this is where sometimes there's a huge amount of stress in relationships because we say we will bring the milk, but you know what? This is about the fifth time you forgot to bring the milk. Why aren't you bringing the milk? I mean, it's not that difficult. You go buy 16 Wawas and 7-Elevens on your way home. Stop and get the milk. I'm sorry. I guess that's not a relevant example. But you probably may know some of the frustrations. Here's a point I do want to make, though. If we're not disciplining our thoughts, I don't think we can get away with, oops, I just forgot. If we're not disciplining our thoughts, I think without pulling this too far out of context, Timothy and Corinthians and Philippians, as well as a couple other passages, you're violating Scripture. You know, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. And if you say you're going to do it, you need to do it. There's a violation of trust there. And what about 1 Corinthians 13:8? Love never what? Fails. So we're going to take that just a little deeper yet. So, we sometimes aren't controlling our body because of a lack of purpose. And it's the resultant lack of structure. Sometimes we're not disciplining our thoughts, again, because of a lack of structure and a lack of purpose. Purpose to be glorifying to God, to be a man or a woman of our word. If we say we're going to do it, we need to do it. Let me give you another idea here. To be disciplined, there's several critical thoughts that must be mastered to discipline our life of being godly. Now, let me show you where there's a bigger spiritual dynamic to this than just, oops, I forgot. Because here's what happens. Is it not true that we didn't forget to get lunch today ourselves? We didn't forget to buy our coffee this morning. We didn't forget to put gas in our car. We didn't forget the things that kind of pertain to us. Now, occasionally we do. And, you know, I'm not going to qualify this whole message, but there are some qualifications. Oftentimes, at least when I forget what pertains to Mike. I get fed. I take care of my responsibilities, but I just forgot that I told Mike whatever. Right? Anybody agree with me there on that? Doesn't matter if you don't. We're going to still consider this. But in order for you to discipline your thoughts, here's a couple ideas. I think the first thing that there has to be is there has to be on your part the ability to deny yourself, to be thinking of others, of being humble. As Philippians says, you know, we are to esteem others better than themselves. So, you know, I'm not a real big milk drinker. I mean, I do, but I could very easily drink other things besides milk. But my kids love milk. And because of my love for my kids, I am going to stop and get that milk. Because I value them. I look on their interests more than I look on myself. So because of that, there's always in my mindset that discipline of my kids like milk. My kids like milk. I got to get the milk rather than, you know, listening to the iPod or whatever you listen to on your way home. We also then have to realize that everything we do is for the glory of God. Forgetting something, failing to keep our word, failing to fulfill and come through with the dish or whatever we commit ourselves to do, does that bring God glory? And again, we want to hear, well, there's two thoughts here. Moreover, is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. When we stand before Him, we will hear the words, hopefully, well done, good and faithful. Now, we're going to have to start structuring our thoughts that we increase in our faithfulness. When we say we're going to bring something home, when we say we're going to come and be here and do something, we need to do it. We need to be faithful in that area. Another idea is just plan out being honest. Being honest not only in what we say, but to what we say. And that kind of dovetails a little bit of that. Let me give you a few more thoughts here. In disciplining and steps, I think we need to come up oftentimes with some memory aids. Notepads are a good thing. 3x5 cards are a fun thing. Electronic organizers or your cell phone and all the tasks list and to-do things are good things. Sleep is a good thing. Structure is a good thing. Nutrition, and then there's also exercise. Now, go to your bulletin and pull out this little insert. I want to make a few thoughts here, make a couple applications, and we'll be done. In your bulletin, I just had a lot of extra material, and I didn't want to prolong you guys too long because there's probably family gatherings. But let me just very quickly just take about literally a minute to go through this. In 1 Timothy 4:7, I think discipline, first of all, requires self-examination. I know we kind of quickly went through the material, but I hope you realize that just forgetting something is more than just forgetting something. I just forgot. It's more to it than that. You need to do some examination. You're going to have to then crucify the old sinful ways of living. And that is, you're going to have to structure your thoughts more. And many of that is just writing these down and rehearsing them. It's going to be sustained daily effort. God has blessed us by the faculty of habits. But then some could say sometimes we're also at a great disadvantage because of the habits we've created. But through sustained daily effort in a matter of weeks, you can have more structured, disciplined thoughts. Daily denial is a fight that's worth fighting for. It results in sacrificial love for others, their desires, their requests, and doing what's asked of you. And that's why this whole idea of humility just, in my mind, saturates this whole thing. If we spend more time structuring our thoughts, thinking of others, we probably would be less forgetful, right? Yes? No? Again, I don't care if you believe me or not, but I think that's true. And I think there's some biblical basis out of Philippians 2 for that as well. Discipline means practice. Practice, repeated thoughts will produce the disciplined efforts which will help you to become godly. You're going to have to practice this. Whenever you start something new, it's awkward, it's weird, it's hard, there's a learning curve, but it's worth fighting that good fight. Practicing repeated actions will produce disciplined actions, which will help you to become godly. The practicing of godliness will result in what? Yeah, it's a kind of a no-brainer, but we need to be working on that. It requires following Jesus in new ways. Again, if we continue to do the old things expecting new results, that's probably not going to happen. You're going to have to come up with something new. Discipline requires God's grace working in you. Man, I've really been growing in my appreciation of God's grace. And it produces endurance. You need to endure in spite of failures, endure through embarrassments until the desired thought or action becomes you. And we begin to really start thinking of others more than self. So there's some to-do list there for you as well on the bottom. Some applications. First of all, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, skip the disciplining your thoughts and skip trying to keep your body under subjection. That's not going to do you a whole lot of good for eternity. You need to really know that you are a believer of God. There's a couple ways for that. One of which is very, very comforting. The Scripture says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are, in fact, the children of God. Have you had that inner witness this week that you are, in fact, a child of God? If you have, great. If you don't even know what I'm talking about, you probably need to talk to one of us before you leave this building. So you know for sure that you can have that relationship where His Spirit does bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Those of you who are believers in Christ, are your minds disciplined? How forgetful are you? And again, some of it's kind of funny with keys. You know, we throw them around because sometimes they get to be a huge wad. Why don't we discipline ourselves that no matter where we are, they're always in a certain location? When I'm at church, I always put my keys here. When I'm at home, I always put my keys there. But you see what I'm saying just with some of that stuff? But more importantly, we need to start thinking of others more. And we need to be disciplining our thought life for others. If we were truly thinking of others more for the glory of God, we would probably be less forgetful. Okay, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Again, I prayed, hopefully you prayed with me, as we began this service, that the Holy Spirit would be working in our life. We kind of wanted the Holy Spirit of God to use the Holy Word of God to bring about some sort of teaching, comforting, guiding, convicting today. So how has the Holy Spirit spoken to your life? Has there been one of my goofy illustrations that maybe touched a chord? Maybe one of the passages of Scripture? Maybe one of the points? Or maybe just something totally unrelated that the Holy Spirit brought this thought to your mind? Because I believe He does that. In fact, we have scriptural basis for that in the book of Acts. We don't have to worry about what to say. God will give us the words. So what thoughts has the Holy Spirit given to you today? And then equally as important, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? We all, to a certain degree, are forgetful. Now, some of that, you know, it just is natural, but it doesn't make it biblical. It doesn't make it right. So you're going to take some of these aids that maybe are in your bulletin and work through them and have a more disciplined thought life. So again, Father, as we come to you, as we sing this final song of trying to glorify your name, Lord, I pray that when we talk about glorifying your name, we can specifically think of the idea of disciplining our thoughts. And those thoughts should be disciplined with the purpose of, again, looking out for the interests of others, fulfilling our responsibilities, being faithful, and bringing glory to you. So again, Father, we ask your blessing upon this remaining few minutes. We pray in Jesus' name.